conducting a seminar or a lecture, the question usually comes during the event or afterwards, what about free will? And that question always brings a smile, because we know that it was the activity of exercising free will that brought them to the classroom or the lecture in the beginning. You see, we spend a greater portion of our lives trying to be free. As teenagers, we, or at least I, couldn't wait to become of age so that I could do what I wanted, so that I could be free of authority. And we express this desire to be free in many ways, usually as rebellion, and quite often we cut off our nose to spite our faces. But we just want to be independent. We want to be free to live our own way. Of course, you know, we think we know what is best for us. And you know what? We're given that opportunity. We are given the opportunity to live life in our own way. We did exercise free will. And when the issues of life hit us, we tried to ignore the issues. Some of us tried to acknowledge the issues and find an escape route. Some of us try to learn the systems of the world so that we wouldn't get caught. And maybe we all try in all the ways. But the upshot is that nothing that we tried gave us peace. Nothing that we tried freed us from the fear of what might happen. We know now that being free is not about living according to our will. Because even when praying the Lord's Prayer, we pray, "Thy will be done," because we know there is security in the Father's will and not ours. Spiritually, we are already free. And we realize this as we know the truth, because there is within each one of us that knowing that all things are possible. And we don't have to think this knowing, it's just there. There is within each one of us the knowing that I am greater than this life that I'm expressing. And we don't have to think about it. It's just there. And there is this knowing within each one of us that our lives could be whole and complete. It's not a thought. It's just there. So what is it within us that knows? It is the Spirit of God, which Jesus called the Father within us. This is that knowing that we have struggled so hard to demonstrate, to exhibit in our lives. It is the knowing that brings us to the truth. We read, "And the truth shall make you free." So what is this truth that makes us free? It's the realization that we are individual expressions of God. You see, everybody's trying to get to know God. But when we stop trying to know God and are still, we realize that we already know God. We already know God's perfection. We already know God's peace. We know God's love and compassion. We know it. We don't have to learn it. We simply need the courage to abide in it and express it. As expressions of God, we know that we're to show forth what God is. You see, this is our truth, just as it was Christ Jesus' truth. But we forgot. Because we've been busy being John and Mary Smith. We've spent our time and our life's resources on our personal versions of righteousness, hoping to become free. But we're already free. It's simply a matter of realization. While being John or Mary Smith, we forgot. The world seems such a challenge to us that we forgot to turn within. You see, being an individual expression of God does not mean seeking God for stuff. Being an individual expression of God means knowing that there is abundant wealth. There are riches. Because being is having. Being free, we know that whatever our needs are, they will be met. They will be taken care of in the most expedient way. Being free is knowing that the Father will give us this day our daily bread. See, the promise of freedom does not begin with you, the smart, wise, and highly intelligent John or Mary Smith. It begins in the ye of you, in the heart and soul within you. The promise is that when the heart, when the truth is realized in the heart and soul, in the ye of you, then you will realize your freedom. All spiritual living begins within. It begins with the inner man. And this is also true for freedom. In order to be free, the first thing we must be free of is the belief that we can know the truth with our minds and set our own terms for righteousness according to our understanding. Because truth is spiritual. There is one truth, and it is not subject to our minds or our interpretations. But it is felt in our hearts, and it's known in the soul when our minds are still. When we try applying our minds to accept the truth that all things are possible, that we are greater than our expressions, and that we can be whole and complete, the truth that we know escapes us when we try to think it. That knowing disappears. You ask why? And the answer is because there is nothing in the human mind which corresponds with the truth. The human mind is etched about with fear. It does not accept anything, even the truth. It is always probing, weighing options. It is always measuring possibilities. It even measures our spiritual life by what we can demonstrate according to the world's values. And when we think about rewards, being rewarded by demonstrations, we also think about punishment. But see, that's the way the human mind functions. The truth is simply realizing I am. Now, many use I am affirmations, but it's not the use of the I am affirmation that frees us. It's the realization, the experience of I am being realized. The truth that you know within you is not a part of this mental experience. The glorious possibilities in your life have nothing to do with what you can learn. They are already expressions of what you are, of what you were born to be. An indivisible, individual expression of God. Truth is our being. It is engraved in our hearts. It is the breath of the soul. The truth is that we are individual expressions of God, an irrevocable relationship, a relationship that can never be severed. And this is the truth, whether we realize it or not. This is the truth, whether or not we live from its premise. It has always been true. It is true right now, and it always will be true. when we cease struggling to become something, to put our marks on the world, we can be still enough to abide in the sacredness of who and what we already are, an individual expression of God. I am. And the stillness. When all the mental tumult has ceased, there is within us a single realization that is more significant than any mental thought or idea we ever entertained. That realization comes from within. Simple, unadorned, yet filled with great promise and endless possibilities. The realization is, I am. I am. The I am realization is one with the Father. This is the realization for which the world has no likeness. This is that imprisoned splendor with infinite possibilities, infinite substance, and the peace of being whole. I am is free. The law begins by telling us, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. I am is the law of God, which brings thee out of the land of the material world and into freedom. I am is the law of freedom. I am is the law of God in the midst of thee. It is our center. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Nothing shall be more important than the inner realization that I am and abiding in it. Not trying to think it through, not trying to analyze it, simply abiding in it. You see, that which frees us is not the mentality. I am is felt and known within us when our minds are still. The law of God is in the midst of us. We call it our center. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. We are not to engrave any pictures in the imagination concerning what we want or how we want our needs to be met. Because your heavenly Father knows what things ye have need of before you ask him. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images of any likeness of anything that is in the heavens above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. In this morning's devotion, we chanted Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. In today's language, we would say, be still and know that the I am within you is God. Be still. Don't try telling it anything. You're in the presence of omniscience, the all-knowing. You're in the presence of omnipotence, the almighty. Don't try telling it anything. Be still and know that the I am within you is God. Jesus moved forward with that understanding in the New Testament when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Because I am is the way to abide. It is the way we arrive at the Father's house. It's the way we experience his presence and abide with him. We cannot carry our mental baggage to the kingdom of heaven. I am is the door. I am is the truth in each one of us. I am is the aspect of us which is the Father's presence. Adding anything to it blurs the lines. I am the resurrection and the life. I am that which brings us alive to the truth. I am awakens us to new living and new directions in life. Both the Old and New Testament share another common denominator. The first commandment in the Old Testament is this: thou shalt have no other gods before me. And the caveat to Christ Jesus' I am pronouncements is, no man comes to the Father but by me. It's about me. Many often use I am affirmations, but it's not the affirmation that frees us. It's the realization, the experience of I am in me. The spiritual world is experiential. And as we lay aside our mental garments, the garments we wear in the world, our professions, our education, our family traditions, and social lives, as we lay aside our successes and failures, our pleasures and disappointments, as we lay aside all our beliefs and imaginings, even that which we think we understand spiritually, all that is left is me. And we know when we've made that connection, because we experience the oneness. You see, our freedom is not bound by anybody else's belief. It's not what I think about it or what somebody else thinks about it. Our freedom is inherent in the me of us. It begins within ourselves. Only through the me of your being do you realize that you are free. No man cometh to the Father but by me. This practice of turning to me, this practice of living and moving in tandem with the Spirit of God within us, makes us free. This is that aspect of us which the Father recognizes. And this is that aspect of us that recognizes the Father. This is the stillness. He says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath toward us, that we should be called the sons of God. Within this mutual recognition, acknowledgement, and acceptance is the substance of all things. A feast prepared for us as sons of God. Every truth, every spiritual reality is available to us in this union. It is a feast of spiritual realities so infinite that we cannot possibly think them. Yet they are all alive in consciousness. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And this is freedom. And so it is. Let us now prepare for the closing meditation. Get comfortable in your seats and let us be still. Turn to me. Turn to the me in you. And I, the I of the Father, will turn to you. I am the Lord thy God in the midst of thee. I am that law. I know that law. I know that law. Abide. I will shelter you from the storm. When you know not which way to turn, I will be your guide. Turn to me. I am the Rose of Sharon. I will give you peace. Father, for thy steadfast love, we give thee thanks. And so it is. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Please stand.